When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. We're back. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can email strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. Please be aware, once again, my email is incredibly backed up due to my previously mentioned hospital stay.
But you're out of bed.
I am out of bed.
We're in the regular recording area with the creaky chairs and the ambient noise. And
all the instruments that are actually tuned to my voice, so there's no way we can't have echo.
Not to mention every truck in the tri-state area with a Jake brake, which will undoubtedly be going down the street.
Absolutely.
Pretty much right now.
A lot of people said they didn't mind the traffic noise for our little on-site episode last time.
I find it soothing sometimes.
So if you are wondering, looking for an update on me, since we kind of had that personal episode last time. I am out of bed. I'm moving around. I'm definitely better than I was last week, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
onward and upward.
Onward and upward. We'll see how long things take to come back. Neurologist said it could be months. So,
and there's parts of you that have lost way before, which I don't know if there's hope for them. Seemingly unrelated.
Have a long list of thank yous coming later in the episode, but just a general thank you to everyone once again for supporting us and for just being incredible, because Strange Familiars community, paranormal community, whatever this is that surrounds us and has supported us, has just been absolutely wonderful and fantastic. So thank you so much. Still might have some guest shows coming up, just to take the weight off a little bit and kind of give me some room to recover
and slower.
Yeah, take things slower. That's the problem. I think everything is just taking me a lot longer to do than it normally did. So, like the editing this week, I was able to do it, but it took me longer than it normally does, maybe even twice as long. It's just taking a while to do everything. So, again, if you could please extend that patience that you have been as far as answering email and getting in contact with people, and I have had to cancel some interviews because I'm just not quite there yet as far as standing up for extended periods of time. Thank you once again, everybody, and let's get back to the weird stuff. Well, other than me, I guess it qualifies as weird stuff.
Other people's weird stuff.
On tonight's episode, I have a really, really cool interview with Joshua, not Cutchin, another Joshua, who got chased by something big and hairy, which he thought might have been a werewolf. There's a really, really interesting detail as far as this sort of metal pinging sound he hears towards the end of the encounter.
If I've got out my, like, Strange Familiars bingo card, would there be many stamps on it in this story?
I think so. I think so. This idea of these metallic sounds is becoming something I'm very, very interested in. The Phasing Bigfoot episode, she heard that metallic crashing sound when we were at Pandemonium. We heard a metallic kind of crashing sound before all that went off. And while this isn't a crashing sound, it's more of a ping. It's still a metallic sound. It becomes something very, very interesting. I think I might be doing a show on these kind of metallic sounds as far as all this stuff goes. coming up in the future. In any case, let's get to this interview with Joshua, hear about this werewolf or whatever it was that chased him through a tunnel. All right, tonight we're talking with Joshua, who emailed in with a really, really cool story that happened to him when he was a teenager. I'm really excited to get this. How are you doing tonight, Joshua?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here and talking to you.
It's an awesome story, and I'll just let you go ahead and lay the groundwork. I don't know how specific you want to get as far as geographic location. As comfortable as you are, it can be state, county, whatever you're comfortable given, and then walk into the story.
Sure. Okay, so I'm in North Carolina. I'm just a little south of High Point, which is, I guess, the closest big, you know, in quotations, big city. But I wanted to start kind of with an experience that happened whenever I was a kid. Whenever I emailed you, I called or I texted my brother and was like, "Do you remember this happening? Because, you know, I'd like to get another experience or to refresh some memories, you know." And he's like, "Absolutely. Do you also remember this other thing?" And like, it kind of like brought back. I was much smaller then. I was probably 7 or 8 then. Mm-hmm. And he reminded me of it, and I was like, "Well, maybe this is something to do with that. I don't know."
Oh wow! But, so is this the same creek?
It's near there. It's not. We had moved to the new house, but it is the same creek, Abbott's Creek. I mean, I guess there you go. That's where all this happened. Abbott's Creek has a lot of history for around here. Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody around here knows there's said to be like buried treasure there. Like Cornwallis's gold is supposed to be out there.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah,
I know. It like it's not the reason we were out there that day, but you know, if I would be lying if I said I wasn't also looking for, you know, treasure.
If you're out there anyway and happen to see some gold, why not? Exactly.
We would go out there all the time. But whenever I was a kid, maybe 6 or 7, I lived in an apartment and they had cleared the land beside of us, which was woods before, to make other apartments, like to build some more apartments. Same people, you know, building those apartments. Mm-hmm. And whenever they did that, they like cleared off all the trees and they had dug like holes to like test the land to make sure it would perk, you know? Mm-hmm. And being young boys, whenever there's giant holes, those are trenches, and we had dirt clod wars. Like we would go out there and like, you know, pelt each other with dirt clods. Like,
I remember that they built a house next to us on the farm, and it was dirt clod city.
So I mean, we went out there and just had wars, you know. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you know, we would stop and we all played Game Boys back then, and we would all go sit up on where they had pushed all the trees up and play our Game Boys. And it didn't take long, maybe a month into it, less than that probably. You know, time's a little different whenever you're a kid. But we started getting things thrown at us while we were sitting on the trees.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, we would be like out playing video games or Game Boys or whatever, and then like we would start getting things thrown at us. So like, at first, we kind of like wrote it all. My brother, who's older than I am, he kind of, you know, played it down. Like, oh, it's probably squirrels, or it's, you know, it's this or it's that. But, you know, me and my friend Jeremy, who was like close to my age, he's, you know, was one of my best friends. We were like, I don't know. It's kind of weird that it only happens like whenever we're here, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we quickly forgot about it, but we would, you know, keep playing. And one day we were walking across the land that had been cleared, and we weren't very close to the woods. I mean, close enough, somebody could throw something out of it and hit us. And a dirt clod comes sailing out of the woods and just like landed at our feet. And I didn't see it, but my friend Jeremy, who was with me for the other experience, he did. He said that he saw a little man in green clothes. So immediately we called it the leprechaun. We're like, oh, there's a leprechaun here. I don't know if it was a leprechaun. I don't think that it was, but like, you know, that's what he said. He's like, he's out there, and he ran into the woods.
Oh wow!
So you know, what do you do with that as a 7-year-old? It that was just what it was. Like, that's what we believed it was. There was a leprechaun that lived in the woods, you know, and it bothered us until they built those apartments. Like, we would go out there and play, and every day it would, you know, something would happen. It might not be something thrown at us, but like something would be moved. We'd put our Game Boys away from us whenever we're throwing dirt clods at each other, because mm-hmm. we don't get them broke. And like, we'd come back and like they'd all be stacked up, or they would all be like in a triangle formation, when we most certainly didn't leave them like that. Right. And we would have seen anybody who would have come across the open land to mess with them. So I don't know. Maybe that's worth telling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's weird. That's really strange. Yeah.
I don't know. I never saw anything. I only experienced the throwing, and you know, you'd feel like you'd be being watched sometimes, like something's not right. And of course, you know, there was, you know, the abandoned house that was haunted, but I think every kid has that in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, but I, you know, it was there. I don't know. I don't know what it was.
So how far away would this have been from the other experience you're going to talk about?
I mean, walking, I could get there in half an hour, you know, so not very far. Mm-hmm. Everything's, I mean, we're a small community here, and you know, everybody pretty much knows everybody else, or if you don't, you know, somebody who knows them.
Right. Know? Yeah.
So, I mean, we're really insular, so it's really close, pretty close. I guess the big story, the story that I sent you. So whenever I was, you know, 13, 14, that age, my friend Jeremy would come over and we would, we'd like have sleepovers or whatever. But during the day, my mom didn't want us like staying inside all day.
Right.
So like we were put outside, and, you know, I love the woods. Like, we would just go, you know, there was no, like you said before on your show, like there was no, I'm going to get lost. It was just like, oh, there's the woods. Let's go explore it.
Yep. Yep. That was my day. You know, I'd wake up in the morning and head for the woods and come back usually for dinner.
Yeah. And exactly that. Like, we would, I mean, I don't think that we ever like packed lunches. We would usually come home for lunch and then go right back out. But, mm-hmm. you know, we'd spend all day in the woods until it got dark, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My mom would step out of the back porch and holler for us, and you know, that was it. That's when we came home.
Yeah, my dad had a whistle you could hear for a long, long way, and he'd start whistling and come about dinner time, and you better head back to the house.
Absolutely. You knew you were in trouble once your middle name got involved.
Yep.
Yeah, so like mom would, not meanly, but like, you know, all right, guys, you know, it's time to go out. So we would go out, and of course there was a creek nearby. That's where we played. We, you know, we explored it, played in it just constantly. We had actually saved some money from like chores and stuff, and we had gone and bought galoshes. We called them cow boots, but like galoshes, like tall rubber boots.
Mm-hmm.
And we would walk through the creek and explore, basically. We would go anywhere and everywhere. We'd go upstream, downstream, didn't matter. Where I live, or where my mom lived, or still lives, right there below her house is the highway. Like, it's a Highway 85. It like runs, you know, all the way through North Carolina, and it's four lanes going one direction, four lanes going the other direction, and separated by a median. And where that creek runs, there the state had built like a tunnel. Like, it's really big. It's probably, I don't know, it's over 12 foot high. I mean, it's large. And it's separated by a concrete divider, and the creek just runs through it, so it doesn't, you know, wash out the highway.
Mm-hmm.
They paid a lot of money to build that, so they're going to protect it or whatever. And it was probably 100 yards, like, give or take. I'm rough estimate. Whenever I see it, and whenever I saw it as a kid, like, that's what I equated it to. It's about the size, or about the length of a football field. That's where I got it from.
That's a good long tunnel.
Oh, it's incredibly long, and in the middle, if you don't have a flashlight, it's pitch black.
Yeah,
even
I would
in
imagine. Yeah.
Broad daylight, it's pitch black. You know, we had gone through it a lot. You know, we'd upstream, downstream, it didn't matter. Whenever we got into the creek, we'd go upstream through the tunnel and kind of mess around there, and then we'd go downstream and mess around there. And my brother brought this up, and I'll say it too. I don't know if it matters, but like, we would always clean up the creek. Like, there was a lot of trash, being that there was a highway right there. But like, we would always make a point to, like, you know, even if it was just one thing, we would take something out with us. Like, we would clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I want to say that it was like a good deed we were doing, but like, we were doing it because that's where we played, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
So like we wanted it to be as clean as possible.
I mean, I do that as an adult, but I don't know if I would have thought to do that as a kid. That's cool that you guys were doing that.
We I was in Cub Scouts for like just a brief amount of time, but like that was one thing that they always told us, like, you know, one good deed a day, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that always kind of stayed with me. Like even as an adult, like even if you don't do anything else, just one thing for someone else. And mm-hmm. for me, that was something for everyone.
Yeah. Anyway. I always feel like if I can leave the woods a little cleaner than I find them is a good thing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if it's something that's like, you know, a human has put there,
right?
Even if it's just dropped, you know, even if it's not intentional, mm-hmm. you want to pick it up anyway. So we'd kind of clean it up and we built forts out there, like, you know, like we'd take logs and roll them into, make dams and break them down. And, you know, we were always very, very cautious not to like leave dams. We were warned against that many times. We didn't do that, but we would, you know, make them for a day and then bust them down before we left.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the day we were out there, that this happened, we had gone downstream quite a long ways and we were on the way back, and one of us, maybe Jeremy, like, let's go through the tunnel. Okay. You know, even if somebody would have said no, we'd have been goaded into going through the tunnel.
Sure.
You know,
like, yeah.
No, you don't want to go. You scared?
Yeah.
No, I'm going through the tunnel. Yeah. Don't worry about me. I'm going through the tunnel. We got into the tunnel, got through it, got going upstream, and just kind of got caught with some wanderlust, you know, just kind of, how far does this go? You know, like, where does this come out at? Like, you know, let's go. And we did, we went the furthest we had ever been upstream ever, and had a lot of fun exploring, looking through new stuff. We come upon like a wider part of the creek. It was definitely made. It didn't look like it had just washed out. I don't know if it was a person had been back there messing, other kids, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But in this part of the creek, there were three branches drove into the creek bed, and there were deer skulls on the branches. And all three skulls like were looking, or were positioned so that they were looking downstream at us coming upstream. And whenever we saw that, we were like, whoa, I mean, we're boys, right? So we're like, on one hand, it's like, that's cool. And right. On the other hand, that's pretty scary.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to put myself at 13 and how I would deal with that.
I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it now. Yeah. My brother's like, I don't know if we should keep going in the water. Let's get out of the water. Maybe the rest of the deer is in the water. I don't know why he thought that. Like, looking back on it doesn't really make sense. Obviously, they were placed there.
Yeah, so these look like this was no accident. In other words, these were definitely driven in and placed there.
Yeah, there was two that were further back, like two of like on either side were further back. The one in the middle was the most toward us. It was kind of in like a chevron, like like it was very clearly, don't come here, you know? Like,
wow.
I don't know how we didn't see that then. Looking back at it, I don't know how I could perceive it as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, obviously that was like, this is a marker. This is, you know, don't come here. Anyway, so my brother's like, I don't want to walk through the creek over there because, you know, there might be deer parts in the water or whatever. So we got out of the creek, and we started up toward it, you know, just to look. And I think as soon as my brother crossed that line, you know, my friend Jeremy, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Josh, I don't feel right. Like, something's wrong. Something's watching us. Like, I feel like something's watching me. And as soon as he said it, I felt it. Like,
wow.
And that might just be, you know, paranoia, you know, like,
right.
Hey, something's watching us. And then, oh, now I feel it too. But it was listening to your show, like, somebody said that, like, you feel like you're in the presence of a super predator, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's what, like, whenever they said that, yeah, it clicked. That's what it is. Like,
wow.
It's like, okay, you've gone from being like the top of the food chain to now you're one down from me, you
right.
know, kind of thing.
Right.
Everything was quiet. Like, I remember that specifically, like, obviously the creek was still running and like trickling, but like There was no birds. There was no squirrels. This is, you know, this is in the middle of spring, maybe even early summer. And there is just nothing, like no noise whatsoever out in the woods. And that's just weird. Like, you know, there's something going on, even if it's just wind blowing, something going on, leaves blowing around. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of stopped and like, you know, that bravado that like is between men or even boys then, but like that wasn't there. Like it was, you know, I looked at my brother, he's older than I am. And I looked at him and he's like, you guys want to go home? We're like, yeah, absolutely. Let's get out of here. You know, let's go. So we start back down the creek and I didn't see anything as we were leaving or hear anything, but that feeling of like being watched, being, you know, followed, that never left. Like that was the whole way back to the tunnel. It didn't lessen. It didn't let up, nothing. Mm-hmm. And a part that I forgot to say earlier, that is an important part, at the beginning and end of this tunnel, there was like big pools of water where like water had run off of where the highway like is like mounded up. So like it was like running off of the highway and like into the creek, and it like kind of like washed out the beginning and end of the tunnel. So there's like big standing pools of water at the beginning and end. Like the boots we had on were high enough to get through it, but you had to go really slow, kind of like wade through it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm shaking just thinking about it. Like we got there and usually we would go one by one as like, so we wouldn't mess everybody else up. You know, you kind of like send out wakes or whatever. And we just didn't. Like we, you know, all three of us went at the same time. We all waded across. You know, we got into the tunnel, and this is where stuff gets weird or weirder.
So do you have any lights at all?
We had like my brother had like a, I don't know if you've ever seen it, like the L-shaped flashlight.
Yeah.
He had one of those. Okay. But like there was one between three of us. We didn't expect to be out there late. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And by this time, like the sun is going down. It's like twilight time. You know, it's kind of purpley outside, kind of pinkish. Mm-hmm. Sun's going down. But, you know, no big deal. We've been out there that time many, many times. We didn't have, you know, that much further to go. We started down the tunnel. We made it about halfway. Halfway, there was like a storm drain that had like – that I guess drained the median. I guess that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Like it was another drain that came into like the big tunnel. So like I guess to drain the median. But it was about midway. Like that was our halfway point. And we got about halfway and we started hearing a rock slide. Like the rocks that they put on the side of the highway to kind of help with drainage of water, I guess. We started hearing a rock slide and we all turned around and looked. And whenever we looked, we saw like the rocks sliding down the bank. And then something that was on four legs, or it looked like it looked like it was on four legs. And whenever it, like it was sliding with the rocks and it hit the water. And whenever it hit the water, it threw up like a fan of water. Like it's a big splash, huge mm-hmm. splash. And I'm thinking deer or dog. And this is the weird thing. Like for me, whenever I saw it, whenever I, you know, talked to my friends about it, like I saw like a long face, like your typical dog or deer, that long face, you know. Mm-hmm. But whenever it hit the water, it hit on all fours and then it stood up on two legs.
Whoa.
On its back legs. And just kind of let out a grunt. Like I describe it as a grunt howl. A noise I've never heard anything else make ever. And it just started running at us, you know, and that was enough for us. Like we all ran, like just broke ranks and ran, you know?
Wow.
Terrifying. Absolutely. I'm shaking just talking about it. And whenever I saw it, like I said, I saw the elongated face covered in hair, head to toe. And I thought to myself, and I don't know why I thought this, but I thought it's a werewolf. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I thought. Like, you know, that's where my mind went. It's a werewolf. And very quickly after that, I started having the thought, I need silver now. I need silver.
That's interesting. You know, so that just kind of came to you.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, like a childhood of reading Dracula novels.
And, sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I saw werewolf. What I thought to be a werewolf, and I thought, what beats werewolves? Silver. I need silver.
Right.
And, you know, all this is happening in like a split second. We're running down out like we're leaving, and like we're leaving, like we're running out of the end of the tunnel, and like I said, there's another big pool of water there, and as we're like leaving the tunnel, there's like what I thought it was something falling off of like a passing car or something, like a ping of metal striking, like if you take a hammer and strike an anvil, that very clear ping. Mm-hmm. that noise. We didn't stop to investigate what that was. Didn't care. You know, we all hit that pool of water, splash, water went everywhere. We fell. We all wiped out, stood up, ran. There's like a little guardrail there that the state's put there for like, to keep cars from running. Like my mom lived on a dead end road, and there was like a guardrail to keep people from like driving off of the end of the dead end road.
Gotcha.
And
yeah.
I went to hurdle that. Smashed my leg on it. I've still got a dent in my shin from hitting that. Didn't care. Hit the ground, rolled, like bounced right back up, and we all ran back home.
Wow.
Yeah. So, of course, like, all three of us show up at the house just drenched. My mom and my stepdad are like, what happened to you guys? You know? And, you know, then it's kind of like a competition to get out our story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is interesting. All three of us saw something different.
That is interesting.
Like, what I saw was like a four-legged animal hitting the water. My friend Jeremy says that he saw a man, like a man-like creature hitting the water. My brother said he also saw a four-legged thing too. But we all saw that he was wearing it. I assume it's a he. It was wearing a coat or jacket or like a long sleeve shirt. I don't know if it was flannel. I'm sorry. I wasn't looking.
I know. Like part of me is like, oh, please let it be flannel.
I don't, it could have been. I
mean, right.
If that's your headcanon, go for it. But, yeah, I don't know what it was. It was pretty in shadow. And, but we all saw some like clothes, but My friend Jeremy said that he had like a human-like face, but it was hair all over. And my brother said that he saw fangs, like a monkey's face.
Wow.
And I did not see that at all. I saw wolf face, like 100% wolf.
Wow.
Like I said, I thought I saw a werewolf. I know that that's crazy. Like looking back at it, it's crazy. But like that, we all, you know, like we stayed up half the night, more than half the night, probably, like talking, like, did you see this? I didn't see that, but I did see this. And none of us were the same. Not one of us.
But you all agreed it wasn't a normal person by any
absolutely
estimation.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. My brother said that, you know, like it was different for all of us, but like none of it was like, while it was like humanoid, it was covered in hair.
Mm-hmm.
From tip to toe, you know, the whole everybody agreed on that, but like what shape that then took, we couldn't agree.
Right. Now, did it look roughly the size of a normal, you know, grown up human?
No, definitely not. It was much more muscular.
Oh, really?
And yes, I defined muscles. Like this guy's been at the gym 7 days a week. If it was a man, he was on a lot of steroids and at the gym every day of the week. I didn't see any, you know, anything to say that this was a human. Like, you know, that was, of course, what my mom said. She's like, "You sure didn't just see like a homeless person who was like staying by the creek?" No, absolutely not.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. None of us.
Did you all agree on the like it was wearing clothing, which is bizarre, but did you all agree on that, or was it
just the shirt?
Just
some
shirt.
I don't remember who saw pants, but you know, I saw pants. One of the others didn't. Like, uh-huh. He said, "Nah, he was just hairy all the way down." You know, but like all of us said that he had a shirt on.
wow, that's so weird. I mean, weird. Like, you know, it's not, it's strange familiar, so, but sure. Like, such an odd detail. Really, really strange.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I love this story. Please continue.
Yeah, so this is the part that kind of made it, I don't know, surreal, more surreal. I don't know. So the next morning, like, you know, we eventually got some sleep or something like it, and then the next morning we raided my stepdad's his shop, and we took an axe, a pickaxe, and probably a shovel or something. But like, we were going back to the creek, you know, like we're going to go down there and see what it is, you know, we're going to go back down there. And we got back down to the creek, and you know, it's weird. Like, we got back down to the creek, we got to the tunnel entrance. And laying in the tunnel entrance, like right in the middle, there was a silver. I've looked it up on the internet since then. It's a silver round. Mm-hmm. It has the Native American's head on one side, and on the back it says, you know, 1 troy ounce silver, 0.999. Just laying there, pure, like plain as day, in the middle of the tunnel. And all I could think was, that's what I was asking for. That I was asking for silver. Like,
right.
Like, that's like, if there was ever like a distressed, I need this, that was it. Like,
wow.
I need silver. And I think that's, I don't know if this is what it was. It could have been something dropping off of a car, but I think that's what fell. I really do. Or like showed up, or I don't know. Like,
oh, like with the ping sound. Oh yeah.
I do. I 100% think that that's what it was. It had, I have it around here somewhere. I know, how do you lose something like this? But it was over 20 years ago, and it's around here somewhere. It appears and disappears around here. Not like supernaturally or anything, but like,
I was going to say, are we talking to ports here? Okay.
No. It'll get moved, and then, you know, later I'll find it. And oh yeah, there's, but it has on it, it has two deep gouges on one of the, like on the edge of it. Like, it had either struck something, or I don't know, like, mm-hmm. But two deep gouges on the side of it. But I mean, I picked it up, and you know, my brother kind of like, that's mine. I was like, no, I asked for this. This is mine. I'm keeping this. I don't know. Is that something that, like, so the theory that my brother has is, you asked for it, and because we had been so good to the place, it was given to us. I don't know if it's that as much as it was coincidence. I don't know if the thing threw it at me. I don't know. Like,
right.
But there it was. And there's no way we would have missed that. We would have probably missed it on the way back out, but there's no way we would have missed it going up the creek.
Yeah. I mean, no matter the fact that it was there at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such an interesting part of the story. It's so interesting. I'm so glad you kept it too.
Yeah. I'll look for it again. I've been looking for it since I emailed you, but I can't find it. It'll show up. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be moving something, and it'll fall out like between a book or something. But yeah, I've moved, you know, several times, 4 or 5 times since then, and I've managed to always. I was in the Navy. Like, I've been around the world, and it'll just wherever I end up, it'll end up there too.
That's awesome.
I don't know if that's supernatural or if it's just, it gets bundled up with something and, you know, it just gets brought along with the haul, but
right. It's either way. It's very, very interesting.
It'll all show up.
You guys went down the next day to explore.
Well, that's as far as we went.
Okay. Okay.
We didn't go back up the creek. We went down there, found the coin. And, for me, that was enough that, you know, like, okay, I asked for this. I got it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And we never went back up. Like, we went back through the tunnel upstream. It took us a long time to do that, but like we went back through the tunnel upstream a couple of times, but we never went as far as the skulls ever again.
I was going to ask.
Not ever again. For us, that was enough. That's not for us. Whatever's past that, that's not for us.
Wow.
Now down here, like again, Moonshiner, like I live right near the highway, and like Moonshiners, they'd be all up in these woods, like, and that's something they would do. They would pass around legends, you know. Oh, there's something in the woods out there, you know, to keep people away.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a haint or something out there. But I don't think that's what this was. I don't think it was a person. I don't think it was a moonshiner or anything. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was scary, though. It was terrifying.
So and, after it hit the water and it started running at you, was it on running? I don't know even know if you remember or if you looked long enough, but do you remember if it dropped back to all fours or if it was running upright?
Upright. It was 100, like, whenever it turned around and it just, it was what I saw was it coming at me on 2 feet. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, but it was. It was like whenever it hit the water, it changed. Like it went from being a four-legged wolf to like this two-legged thing, you know, and stood up and run at us. I don't know if it would have gone back to four legs after that, or, you know, if it was just starting on two legs and was going back to four. I didn't look long enough to find out.
Wow.
Yeah, it frightened us. It left a memory, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. My goodness, yeah, that's so cool. Such a cool story. I mean, frightening, I know. You know, I didn't live through it, but man,
oh, it was
really interesting.
I really think that the reason, like, it didn't like scar me, like to like the point where I don't want to go out in the woods, because it happened to me whenever I was so young. Like, we just, okay, yeah, that's something that can happen out there, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I never questioned that was a thing that couldn't like werewolves don't exist. I was, you know. I believe that wrestling was real back then. So, you know, like, right. You know, werewolves are out there. I've seen one.
Yeah, life is full of wonder at that age. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It scared us to death.
Could you find that place with the skulls today if you wanted to?
Yeah. I mean, I could find where it would be.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's just a matter of going to my mother's house, going to the end of the road, and just getting on the creek and staying straight. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the main creek. It wasn't like an offshoot or anything. It was just, yeah, it'd just be a matter of walking that far.
That'd be interesting.
Since I've emailed you, I looked it up on Google Earth, like to like see where the, you know, about where it was. And I don't know if they've put in like a housing complex over there now, but, you know, the woods isn't as, and it might've just been me being young, you know, the woods isn't as big as I remember it back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that may be a combination of both. There's definitely been some places where I went where I was young, and, you know, I thought it was this vast wilderness, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just a little woods, you know?
Yeah, it's just, like, not even an acre, and you're like, no, that's like the 100-acre woods, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, of course, we, you know, went and told all of our friends that, like, this happened to us, you know? So we had more friends, like, take us out there. We want to see this. And while we wouldn't go up the creek, we would go to the tunnel and, like, you know, show our friends, like, you know, it's, you know, it's up there. Nobody had the courage to go as far as we went, though.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
And whenever we did that, I mean, orbs, like balls of light, 100%. Absolutely. Bobbing through the woods, 100%.
Oh, you saw them from your mom's house, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Like, they're out there. Like, I don't know if, again, this is close to a main road, so, like, could it be cars? I guess maybe. I don't know. I guess a skeptic could say that's what it is. But it's not moving like a car. It's not like going like in a straight line. It's kind of bobbing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if it's a car that has some serious suspension issues, I guess maybe. I don't know. Like they're out there. They're 100% out there.
So you saw those multiple times?
Yeah. Yeah. Like there was a nursing home near where she lived, and like as most teenagers do, like to kind of like spook ourselves. You know, we would go out through the woods behind the nursing home, and you just run into them, like just out there.
Now, what size is that? I mean, I know it's hard to tell. It's, you know, people ask me all the time, and I guess softball. I don't know, maybe bigger.
Yeah, if I put both of my hands together and like in fist, mm-hmm. about that size.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I guess what is that, about softball and a half?
Maybe? Yeah, something like that. And did they have any color to them?
Yeah, the ones we saw were white. They were like a dull white. Mm-hmm. And they would just bob through the woods. And again, this is where, you know, being a child that read Dracula, that comes in. Don't follow the will-o'-the-wisp.
Right.
I just didn't mess with them. We saw them several times, and we never, all of us knew, man, we're not going to follow that.
Yeah, that's so interesting, though, that they would appear there. Did you ever have anything else weird happen around the house? Like any, you know, I don't want to suggest anything. I don't want to lead you anything, but do you remember anything weird around that time?
Yeah, I do. Like, so I don't know if this is like an intention thing. Like, we put it out there, so it happened. But like, we had, you know, after this had happened to all of us, we had gone and told a bunch of our friends, and like, my brother and I had convinced my mom to, like, my birthday's in May, so like, for my birthday, like, let me have all of my friends over, and we're going to do like a camp out kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. like just in the backyard, though, like, you know, we're going to have a bunch of guys, like, but more people than my mom would normally let come over, you know,
sure.
for my birthday. And then there's a small creek, not part of Abbott's Creek, just like a runoff creek, maybe fed by a spring or something, up the street from us. And like, we went out there just messing around, being boys. And, you know, one of my friends, Jason, was like, you know, if there's something here, you know, show yourself, you know, kind of taunting the woods, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something come crashing through the woods. Like, just, I didn't see anything. It could have been a deer. It could have been a deer that he spooked by yelling at it. I don't know, but it was definitely running at us. And deer don't do that.
Yeah, they don't tend to run towards you, no.
No, it was running at us. And, you know, of course, all of us like broke and run. Like, there was, it's where it is like kind of down in a gully. And like, all of us were trying to climb up the gully, like, you know, like grabbing hold of rocks and stuff. I'm sure we caused a lot of property damage to that guy's yard. This is the kind of things that as a kid you don't think about, you know, like,
oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can just be here. Like, right. That's somebody's yard, man. Like,
yeah, I was completely, I'm sure I was a horrible trespasser. I just thought the woods are the woods, and I just went wherever, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, he was yelling at, you know, yelling at the woods, like, you know, if there's something there, you know, show yourself. In the whole, because I think Taps was on, or that Ghost Hunter show was on, you know, mm-hmm. so that's what he was doing, like, show yourself.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah,
being, you know, like, he's going to command it to do something. We're like, don't do that, bro. You know? Yeah, it just, whatever it was, come running out of the woods. And yeah, all of us ran up the gully, like pulling down rocks and pulling out weeds and stuff, grabbing anything that was a handhold, basically. Mm-hmm. getting up the side of the thing. Or we run back to the, like, up the hill, and, you know, back to the road, and like stopped and looked, and then, you know, didn't hear anything going back into the woods, didn't hear anything anywhere, just completely quiet, like nothing had even happened.
Right, yeah. Oh, man.
I know that could be a deer, like, I get it, but
yeah.
it didn't feel like a deer.
Yeah, yeah. So have you ever had an urge to, as an adult, to, like, visit your mom and then pout back in those woods and see what happens?
We, a friend of mine and I, like, we got in our heads last year, maybe the year before, that we were going to do walking sticks. We were going to go out and cut some walking sticks and season the wood, and, you know, mm-hmm. we were going to make some walking sticks, basically. We do a little hiking, so, you know, we're going to make our own walking sticks. We walked around back there just seeing it, and that's whenever we wandered upon, like, there's an old moonshine place, like, in the woods behind her house, like, way on back in the woods. But, like, yeah, it's right there. Like, there's definitely signs of people being out there, and old steel that had they just left it, just, like, rotted through.
Oh, that's interesting, though. Do you have any guess as to how old the steel was?
So it's where it is, there's, they've cut a, they, like, so it's, you know, the woods is, you know, the land's not even at all, but they've cut a like a driveway into the woods that goes out to the highway. Like mm-hmm. now, right now, like the state's put up a fence to keep like wildlife and stuff out. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, that fence wouldn't have been there, and they could have gone from the still, they could have pulled in, filled up, and then got straight on the highway and going north or south. Right. They could have been in Charlotte in 30 minutes or Virginia in an hour and a half, you know? So like if they were running moonshine, that's where it would have been. Hmm. So I would guess probably, but like they had cut that driveway and it's grown over and stuff. So I would guess back in there's like, bottles, like there's little, it's weird. I've never seen this, but my friend said they're like Avon bottles, like from perfume and stuff.
Okay.
Like, they're small. They're not like, it's not like you would think like a flask size. They're like, maybe they would carry a shot and a half or something, mm-hmm. but like, that's obviously what they were putting the moonshine in because there's crates of them out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he picked up a couple, and I think those are from the 30s. He looked them up. He thought maybe they'd be worth something, but they are not.
Yeah, I always, these days I worry about running into a meth shack out in the woods.
Oh, God. Yeah, that is the worry, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but that's interesting, though. Oh, man, it sounds amazing and like an enchanted childhood. I know it was scary, but I mean, what a story to leave with.
Yeah. We've gone through the woods before, like you said, you know, just I know I should be able to find my way out of the woods, and we've come out of the woods across the street from, like, there's no way to get across the street without leaving the woods. Like, we've come out on the other side. Just how? You know, I really do believe there's something back there. What that is, I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm not saying it's like any one particular thing, but. Yeah, there's something going on back there.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. You definitely saw something. And man, who knows? Were you past the halfway point when it started running at you, or were you still?
Yeah, we had just passed that the halfway point was like the that storm drain, and we had just passed the halfway point, just past it.
I bet that's the fastest 50-yard dash you'd ever done.
You better believe it. In boots,
right? Like
in galoshes. Yeah, the water that runs through there is very, very low, like less than an inch. So mm-hmm. like, yeah, but we were going. We were as fast as our feet could carry us.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, who knows if it was even trying to get to you, if it was trying to just push you out of there. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know, but it felt like it was trying to get to me. You're right. It could have just been trying to scare us. And I don't know. I don't know why it would have stopped, you know? Like, mm-hmm. why did it stop? If it was trying to hurt us, I mean, it could have obviously caught us.
Yeah.
Especially, it could have at least got one of us before the time we got back to my mom's house.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, man, so something that big, if it's hauling and you're 13, yeah, I don't, you know.
It would have 100% caught one of us.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it wasn't going to be me.
Unless it didn't want to leave the tunnel or if, I don't know, who knows. Wow.
I mean... This might just be me overthinking it, but I think that silver coin stopped it. I honestly do.
Maybe.
I do. I think that it got to the silver and was like, maybe it was my belief that silver would stop it. Mm-hmm. And it stopped it. You know, it got to that coin and it was like, all right, well, this is as far as I can go.
Huh. Yeah. Unless there's something even weirder going on. I don't know if you heard the Phasing Bigfoot episode we had recently.
I did, yeah.
She heard the crashing metallic sound, and then it appeared. Maybe that that hammer sound was it disappearing, you know?
I didn't need, you know? Yeah. I didn't even put that together until you just said it.
I mean, because we heard the same thing at Pandemonium. Well, not the same thing. I don't know. You know, I don't know what she heard, but we heard a crashing metal sound. It sounded like somebody took a 2x4 and was beaten on a guardrail. That's what it sounded like. And enough where Chad insisted that we go check it out and make sure nobody had an accident or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And then everything, you know, happened after that. And I didn't even think of that when she talked about that crashing sound. But now I'm kind of aware of it, these metal sounds. So, you know, I mean, that's who knows? We can never say, but it's just interesting. There's another metal sound in association with this stuff.
So the sound I heard was like a bright, it was very bright. If I was going to use a word to describe it, it's a very bright ping.
Yeah, more of like, a ping. Yeah, yeah.
It, but I mean, metal's metal, right? So maybe it's a different tone for different ones.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But I do like, I like the idea of the silver just somehow when you needed it, like going down and then stopping him for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, I've had a long time to think about it. And I mean, I've had like weird experiences other than, you know, in the woods behind my mom's house. But like, as soon as I learned about like the fae and fairies, that's what it was to me. It was a hairy fairy. That's what it was. Like, I've heard, you know, Josh speak about it. And I was like, yep, that's it. You know, that makes sense in my head.
Certainly fits the bill. So,
yeah. So there you go. Cool.
Joshua, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. Amazing. I absolutely love it.
Thank you. I'm glad you would hear it.
If you had a puppy, Allison?
Yeah.
And you needed help because it was like mouthing and biting.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you go?
I would go to 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy.
That would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
What if your puppy was exhibiting signs of fear and nervousness or barking or chewing on furniture, things it shouldn't be chewing on? What if you needed help with crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, or just about anything else? Where would you go?
90 Days to the Perfect Puppy.
Excellent choice. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you with their relationship-based approach to training. You and your puppy can become perfect for each other. They have online sources, video lessons, a secret Facebook group. Of course, one-on-one options are available. Where do you find 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy?
At sithappens.us.
Yes, you look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. Let 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy help you understand how your dog thinks, which is not the way you think.
I would hope not.
And apply proactive training methods so you and your puppy can become perfect for each other. Again, you can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. All right, so before we get to our photo of the week, let's tackle this wonderfully long list of thank yous. This is not exhaustive.
The hard part about giving individual thank yous is inevitably you miss someone major who was really helpful, and then you go, how could I have missed so-and-so?
Expect this list of thank yous to grow, and we will be adding more in the future. As I often say, I don't know if people want their name on a paranormal podcast. We're going to give first name, last initial, and maybe the state that they were from when we have it. We don't always have the address for people. So Andrew M. from Ohio, thank you very much. Kevin H. from Missouri. Rob B., thank you. Michael S. from Ohio, thank you very much. Rachel I. from Canada, thank you. J.Y. from Delaware. Kendra L., thank you so much, Kendra. Corey A. from Pennsylvania.
Jennifer S. from Oregon. Nicole G. from Texas.
That's TJ Nicole.
Okay. Matthew B. from the UK. Laura B. from the UK.
That's Roy and Monotremata Records.
Okay.
I know Roy. Thank you, Roy, from Texas.
Carrie B. from Massachusetts.
Pamela W. from Oregon. Kevin N. from Wisconsin, Jason W. from Ohio, Sean P. from Pennsylvania, Crystal S., Scott B. from California, Nicola P. from the UK, and Carl A. from Massachusetts. Well, that's Nick Gray.
Oh, yeah. Our friend Nick Gray, amazing musician.
Thank you, Nick. And that's Tobe from Strange Brow. So thank you so much, Tobe.
Bethany S. from North Carolina, Catherine T. from California, Valentina S., Gerard C., Jonathan N., Emily T., Stephen J.
I believe that's our local pal, Steve, who gave us the fence.
Oh, yeah. And the heads up about early vaccination.
Yes. Yes. Scott L. from the UK. Susan M. from Pennsylvania. Marvin S. from North Carolina. Joseph D. from South Carolina. Patrick B. from Canada. James W. from Nebraska. Shelby H. from Ohio.
Danny R. from North Carolina. Our good friend Tara Van Flower from Lycia. Bo S. from Oklahoma. Stephanie S. from Tennessee. Aaron A. from New York. The Hair in the Moon Band, Gray Malkin. Amy L. and Anik M. from Germany.
And the Excluded Middle. Thank you so much. Susan F. from Maryland. Allison C. from South Carolina. Kevin S. from Pennsylvania. Chris C. Eric C. from Florida. Fred Y. from New Jersey. Laura M. Stephen B.
Andrew C. from Ireland. Trisha G. Warren H. Timothy B. from California. Tyler T. from Pennsylvania. Hondo B. Craig T. from... Man, my remembrance of what specific states are...
It's Idaho.
Is Idaho?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Elise C. Shirley B. from Arizona.
Robin R. from Michigan. Ann H. Mr. Scruff's Pet Care. Thank you very much. Francis P. Adam Sane from Conspiranormal. Thank you so much, Adam. Christopher O. from New York. Jeffrey C. from New Hampshire. Brian M. from Iowa.
Mm-hmm. This is really more like a test on postal codes. Sabine S. from Austria. Ann H. from Massachusetts. Carol M. Stephen H. from the United Kingdom. Joshua D. from Kentucky. Jennifer H. from North Carolina.
Mr. Joshua Cutchin, thank you very much. Studio EM from Baltimore, Maryland. Michael H. from Maryland. Judith B. from Maryland. Our friend Amanda from Rhode Island. Thank you so much, Amanda, the floating world. Daniel L. from Germany. Manuel L. from Austria.
Joshua M.
Well, I'm glad you got that one and not me.
Oh, I think it's Austrian for George, right?
I think so.
Okay. So I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Our friend Nadal Ayad. Rudolph S. from Austria, Patrick N., Kathleen S. from Georgia, David W. from New York, Richard Hendrick.
That's Brother Richard. Thank you so much, Brother Richard.
Thank you, Brother Richard, for your unending support.
And TJ makes it again, so thank you again, TJ Nicole. Alex W. from Canada, that is our buddy from the It Was a Witch, It Was a Sasquatch episode. So thank you, Alex. Anthony G. from Illinois. Tina from Sit Happens. Thank you so much, Tina. Craig P. Maynard W. from Arizona. This is not her real name, but this is the name she uses online. So, Nagatha, she has been holding raffles for us. So thank you so much. Thank you for doing that. Luis F. from California. Melanie M. from Texas. Kristen J.
David O. from Maryland, Aaron D. from Colorado,
Christopher from the Conspire Theory podcast, Damian J. and McKenna L. from Washington. Once again, that is not an exhaustive list. There's more people we need to thank.
Plus everyone that helped us out as far as like local friends who took over like my antique stand for the time and American Daydream where I have it, who were really kind and made sure everything was in place. My friend Christy and
our friend Sarah brought us some food. Thank you.
Lots of people checked in on us and probably can't talk about it too much more, but yes. People have been exceptionally kind and supportive.
Yes,
and
thank you for your help. Thanks everybody.
Now I just want to get back to the weird.
Well, let's do the photo of the week.
Okay.
We didn't do one last week because I was in bed and we just didn't do one, so.
You know, I always like to go with a theme, and the only thing that really relates now is that this is made out of iron, so.
Well.
Fairies probably would not want to touch this.
There you go.
The other thing is, like, what does everyone need right now? Chocolate, right? Doesn't that sound fantastic? So this is a chocolate daguerre, or chocolate tintype.
Chocolate tintype, which referred to as such because it's the sort of brown tint to it.
Yes, there was sort of like everyone kind of wanted their own piece of the photographic pie. So there's like constant quote unquote innovations, which are sometimes just sort of novelty things or phases. And in the 1870s, these chocolate tintypes were popular, and they're supposed to give sort of like, I guess, a warmer, more lifelike glow to what is pretty much just stark black and white contrast. And when we take a photo of this, it will probably appear much redder than it is in reality. It really does look like a warm kind of like Hershey's Kiss kind of color.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take a picture of it, a lot of times it'll catch the light and it'll look almost just red.
Very interesting. And you mentioned iron because tintypes are not on tin. They are on a very thin piece of iron. They're ferrotypes, I guess, more properly. If you go to the show notes under this episode, you can see an image of this photo. If you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can buy this or other photos of the week. Speaking of Etsy, thanks everybody for ordering from the Etsy shop.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody too. I know a lot of people placed orders that just to be helpful and supportive, and I want to acknowledge those people as well. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's a huge help. It's an absolute huge help. And we're almost caught up. The only things that are delayed now is we are out of a couple of my books, which are on the way from the manufacturer.
So if you're waiting, it shouldn't be too much longer.
Right. We'll fill those orders as soon as possible. Sorry for the delays, everybody.
And you never even got to mention on the show that you had done the keychains and they were gone before you got to mention the show.
Oh, yeah, because I went to the hospital.
Yeah, so you never even got to mention that you did some really cool keychains, which... Yeah, I mean, sold out pretty quickly.
Yeah, we talked about them a little bit. We mentioned them that they would be coming up, and then they sold out before we even got to the next episode. Even the episode we skipped, they were sold out before that, so I couldn't have even mentioned them. So if you didn't get a green Bigfoot keychain, I had to hold some back just in case there were problems with any orders. We might be able to put like maybe 10 more up after. Well, I want to make sure everybody gets theirs first. So keep an eye out for those. That's it. We're not doing the green ones anymore. We will do, I think maybe we'll make them in brown or something and make it like not a limited edition. We'll just keep stocking those. So if you wanted a keychain and you didn't get the green one, there'll be other options. And then we're going to do some other designs maybe coming up.
They are really cool. I have like I have a little keychain that one of our listeners sent. It's like a sort of a cartoony Bowie in the similar fashion, but I really could see myself with like 150 keychains hanging off of
them. Yeah,
like.
they're super fun and they're fun to make, and it's definitely more of a cartoony kind of Bigfoot, but I think it was appropriate for that kind of format. So our Etsy shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, our stuff should come up. We're restocking Strange Familiars t-shirts. It's going to be a while. They're coming from Sage. Farce Passage Printing, that is the printer we use for our t-shirts. They will be in stock soon. I think we have maybe smalls in stock right now only. They all sold out, so we will be restocking those. My books are there at Etsy. I put up original artwork there as well. So go ahead and check it out. Again, it's shop name Lost Grave. Type in Strange Familiars, our stuff will come up. That is a wonderful way to support us. Another way is by becoming a patron at Patreon. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's all different tiers of support there. Every single tier helps us a lot, and you get extra episodes of Strange Familiars besides. I wasn't sure I'd be able to do one for April. I think I'm going to squeak a patron episode in for April.
It might be 11:59 on. Let's see, 30 days have September, April, June, and oh, it's not even a 31-month day.
Rut-row. No, I'll do my best. I think we're going to get one out. If not, we'll do two for May. But I have something planned. It is a hermit episode, but it also ties in with some other Strange Familiars things we talked about before.
Does it also involve one of the Strange Familiars hotspots?
It does. It does indeed.
So, I would like if we drew a map and all these ley lines actually spelled something out.
Made a giant tree with an eye symbol or something.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. That's a huge help to us. our patrons mean the world to us. Thank you so much, patrons. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for understanding. So many patrons reached out and said, you know, don't worry about doing a patron episode this month. We understand. I'm not worried about it, but it is a joy to do these things, and I love doing them, and I'm going to do my best, and we'll see about getting a patron show out for April. I think we can do it.
And like I said, if you didn't hear your name, I do have another list of people I'm compiling who sent us meals, and I'd like to acknowledge those people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. More thank yous are coming, for sure. Absolutely. The artwork for this episode is part of that series of drawings I've been doing while confined to bed. At some point, we'll be holding an auction for those. I don't know how we're going to do that. I'd like to do like a live auction somehow. I'm going to talk to some people, and maybe we can do kind of a...
like on Instagram or something.
Or, a Zoom call or something. I don't know exactly how we will handle that, but we'll see if we can work something out. I'm sure I'm forgetting something.
Yeah.
Once again, that thank you list was not exhaustive. We'll be having more thank yous in the future. Absolutely. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode of Strange Familiars. Maybe some guest episodes coming up. Sorry to anyone who I had to cancel interviews with. We'll have to reschedule them and make them up in the future. Thanks once again, everyone, for your support. More Strange Familiars very soon. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. You can also join the Strange Familiars gathering group there. We're on Instagram at Strange Familiars, and you can always find us at strangefamiliars.com. Remembers what's in.
break the bread as I broke bread.
Ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.